Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. We recognize the value of fathers. And I want to remind us this morning of how God values godly fathers. I read a statement this past week by James Schaller. He is a psychologist. And he writes, "The absence of a mature father-child connection creates a void in the soul, a residual father hunger." And I believe there are many in the world today that have this father hunger because they've grown up without fathers who love them, who are imitating their lives after our Heavenly Father. Gary Chapman has suggested there are three categories of father deficiencies in our world today. First of all, there's the absentee father. Death, divorce, and desertion have left millions of children without fathers. And I've read that 40% of children growing up in the Western world will spend a portion of their lives before the age of 18 in a single-parent home. And most of these children will have minimal contact with their father. There's absentee fathers that have caused this father deficiency. Secondly, there are the present but not available father. And that would describe fathers who are under the same roof. They're in the house with the children, but they have little time available for fathering. Perhaps their jobs are so demanding that when they get home, they're exhausted, and so they don't make the effort to get involved in the lives of their children. They're present, but they're not available to them. But then thirdly, there's the helpless father. The one who does live under the same roof and perhaps would even want to be a part of his children's lives, but just doesn't know how. He is helpless. This morning, I'd like for us to consider what a real father is like. And we'll see that we learn about what a real father is from considering what our Heavenly Father is to His children. And so a real father is what our Heavenly Father wants fathers to be, and it is also what our children desperately need our fathers to be. We're going to use the letters of the word father to highlight these characteristics. The first one is that God wants our fathers to be faith instilling. Faith instilling. Ephesians 6:4 in the passage that Brother Troy read for us, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord." A couple of weeks ago, we looked at those two terms, that instruction and training. Just to remind you, the word for training or teaching here means literally a putting into the mind. And it would have reference to what the teaching that is done by words. And notice that God says it's the father's primary responsibility to be faith instilling, to teach and to train the children, to teach by using words, but also to train. And that word is translated nurture, at other times chastening, but it always involves action. It has a positive and negative aspect to this idea of training. Positive in the sense of encouragement and support. Negative in the sense of having to correct when needed, having to discipline. But these instructions are given to fathers. They are to be the spiritual head of the home, the teachers primarily, and trainers of the children. And a loving father teaches his values to his children. Values are simply those things in life to which we attach worth. The values are strongly held beliefs by which we order our lives. I've read of some that try not to teach their values to their children. And the reasoning is they want their children to develop their own values. For example, I've read of some that don't want to try to teach their children even religious values, because they want them to develop them on their own. But folks, that fails miserably in what God wants us to do as parents, and particularly as fathers. He wants us to teach our children. He wants us to train our children. He wants us to teach our values. Yes, by words, and even more. And our children learn them more by the way that we live. So if we want to teach our children the virtue of honesty, we'll seek to be honest in our dealings with other people. If we want to teach our children the virtue of hard work, then we will seek to give an honest day's work for our employer. If we want to teach our children the virtue of kindness, it'll be demonstrated in the way that we treat and speak to other people. Fathers are to be faith instilling. Yes, ultimately it depends upon the child to accept or reject that teaching and that training. But we as fathers must do our part in making sure we have done all that we can to instill faith in our children. Let's let the letter A in the word father to stand for actively involved. Actively involved. Some of you have read some of Irma Bombeck's books. Quite a funny writer. She wrote this about her own father. "One morning, my father didn't get up and go to work. He went to the hospital and died the next day. I hadn't thought that much about him before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everyone. He opened the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go into the basement by himself. Whenever I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll. So I had him say, 'I'm going off to work now,' and then I put him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cakes. We never had so much company before. I went to my room and felt under the bed for the daddy doll. And when I found him, I dusted him off and put him on my bed. He never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would hurt so much." What I'd like to see in Irma Bombeck's words are, though she didn't fully understand all that he did, that she still missed him. However, I also want to highlight in her words, I'm afraid it's what a picture of many fathers today. "He was someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everyone." And what I see in that statement is, at least potentially, a lack of involvement. And fathers who are patterning their fatherhood after our Heavenly Father, on the contrary, will be actively involved in the lives of their children. Aggressively involved. You see, the passive father is a responder. He relates to the child only when the child initiates the process. When the child cries or begs or pulls, then the passive father responds. But we're not talking about being passive here. We're talking about being actively involved in the lives of our children. Looking for ways to be involved in our children's lives. Anticipating how we might stimulate their minds or emotions to positive growth. Fathers, are we actively involved in the lives of our children? Or when they're playing dolls and they have the daddy doll, do they just put him under the bed? Our Heavenly Father is actively involved in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." God is actively involved in our lives through His providence, and He assures us of His presence and of His purpose in our lives. And fathers will take the Heavenly Father as their model. The letter T in father, let's let it stand for time spending. Time spending. A loving father will make time to be with his children. And we say make time because today's business and professional world does not lend itself to fathering. Because in today's world, the emphasis is on production, and a man's accolades come from his accomplishments. But fathers, recognizing the value of their role, will make time for their children. Although the emphasis that predominates the business world is on this production, still one of the most common regrets from fathers is saying something like, I wish I'd spent more time with my children. Never has it been, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office, but I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have talked more with my children. And just having that regular conversation is so important. It gives opportunity for father and child to discuss thoughts, feelings, ideas, desires, decisions that are to be made. But even the time spent in playing with our children, I think is time well spent. I read a statement by Harmon Killebrew. It caused me to do a little research on Harmon Killebrew. I knew he was a professional baseball player in years past. And he had a 22-year major league career. He was second only to Babe Ruth in American League home runs and retired as the career leader in home runs by a right-handed batter. The record has since been broken. However, he's a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. He is described as a stocky 5'11", 210-pound hitter with a compact swing that produced tremendous power. In fact, he was nicknamed Killer or Hammering Harmon. There were several seasons, I believe 6 seasons, that he hit at least 40 home runs during the season. He led the league in home runs 6 times. In RBIs 3 times, he was named to 11 All-Star teams. But despite the nickname of Killer, he was a very quiet and kind man who was not given to the partying lifestyle enjoyed by many of his peers. Someone once asked him, what do you like to do for fun? Harmon Killebrew responded, well, I like to wash dishes, I guess. But this is the quote that I'd like to share with you. He writes, my father used to play with my brother and me in the yard. Mother would come out and say, you're tearing up the grass. We're not raising grass, Dad would reply. We're raising boys. We're raising boys. I believe Harmon Killebrew's father was emulating the Heavenly Father, who is also with his children constantly. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's let the letter H in father stand for help rendering. Help rendering. A loving father provides for his children. This is the most basic level of fathering, meeting the child's need for food and clothing and shelter. We even read in Scripture that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So yes, at the basis, at the very least, we should provide for our children. But a loving father will also do his best to protect his children from harm, whether it be physical harm, but also emotional harm, or even spiritual harm. It may come in the method of trying to counteract some teaching that they've received from even those in the educational field. It may come in the form of counteracting some of the hurt that they receive from their friends at school. It has many different aspects to it, but a loving father does his best to protect his children, even to insulate them from the problems that life will bring. A loving father will seek to help his children whenever possible. It reminds us of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do our children recognize us as being a very present help in trouble, like our Heavenly Father? Do they feel free to come to us when they have a problem? Our Heavenly Father is also described as one who cares for us. Therefore, we can cast our care upon Him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. A godly father is help rendering. A godly father is also encouragement giving. Encouragement giving. I read about a co-class president of the graduating class of the University of North Carolina Medical School. Karen Popovich was her name, 1990. She was addressing her fellow graduates and also the assembly on this graduation day. Those who were listening to her had been informed that her father, who was also a physician, had died a month earlier. But with quiet confidence, she addressed the audience, acknowledging that her father's death had reminded her that the medical science field has limitations. But reflecting on her own accomplishments, she honored her father with these words: "My accomplishments are to a large degree a tribute to my father, who taught me through the years that we accomplish whatever we dream. He instilled in me a positive spirit to accomplish all that I was capable of accomplishing. I shall always be indebted to him." She would always recognize her father's influence, how her father had encouraged her by instilling courage within her. I see that as a tremendous opportunity and responsibility for fathers today, to seek to instill courage within our children, so that when they leave home and they're out on their own, yet they face those challenges, they can look back and recognize how their fathers encouraged them, taught them to be courageous, just as our Heavenly Father encourages us as His children. Remember the words that He spoke to Joshua: "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's let the last letter in the word Father stand for genuinely real. I know that's redundant. But fathers, if you don't take anything else with you this morning, please listen to these words. And these words come from a 16-year-old. A 16-year-old sophomore whose parents divorced when he was 8 years old. His father left, never returned. His stepdad was tyrannical, often saying to him, "You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything." But yet he wrote an article, an essay entitled, "A Real Man." And I want you to listen to how he describes a real man. A real man, he says, is kind. A real man is caring. A real man walks away from silly macho fights. A real man helps his wife. A real man helps his kids when they're sick. A real man doesn't run from his problems. A real man sticks to his word and keeps his promises. A real man is honest. A real man is not in trouble with the law. 16 years old, didn't have someone in his life who demonstrated those qualities. But I believe he described well what a real man is. And a father is genuinely real in these senses. Because I believe this 16-year-old high school sophomore from a broken home in many ways had a vision of what a real man is. A vision that I believe has been given by God. I want to go back to this quote with which we began. The absence of a mature father-child connection creates a void in the soul, a residual father hunger. In view of this father hunger, let me issue the following challenges to each of us. First of all, to us fathers, let's be the kind of fathers that God wants us to be, to satisfy this father hunger that many children experience in the world today. I want to challenge all the men. Let's be good role models for the young men around us. And it may be that we set that father figure before some of these children who may not have one of their own. My challenge to all of us is let's point our children, as well as all people, to the Heavenly Father. Because that's where the real father hunger is satisfied. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. When you consider the love that God has for us, what it boils down to is this. He loved us so much that He gave us His Son. He gave His Son so that you and I might become His sons and daughters. How will you respond to that love? Our hope and prayer is that you'll respond to that love by giving your life to the Heavenly Father, by becoming one of His children. Based upon your faith and your willingness to turn from sin and repentance, that you'll confess Jesus, that you'll be baptized, that you'll be born again into the family of God, even this morning. My hope and prayer is that all of us will seek to emulate the Heavenly Father as we deal with our children, as we deal with other children, as we interact with all people. Let's continue to point others to the Heavenly Father. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.